We have the wonderful opportunity to open the Word together. So please, if you would, grab your Bibles. Open to Romans chapter 8. We're going to be reading from Romans 8, verses 1 through 11. And once you have found your place in Romans 8, if you would stand so that we can hear read the Word together. This is God's word from Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the things of the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much that you bring your word to us. We thank you so much that we have access to your word. Lord, this is your voice. And you have brought us here so that we can hear from you, so that we can grow in our desire to love you. Lord God, we hold something in the palm of our hands that has the power to create the universe. And we believe this morning that you're going to do something amazing here as well, especially in our hearts as you draw us in a deeper and more intimate relationship with you. Please do that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Have you ever had your whole world shaken when something that you were so confident in crumbled right before you? This happened to me about 5 years ago. Something I was so confident in was shattered right before me, and my world was shaken. About 5 years ago, Anessa and I and our family lived in Michigan, which is where my family is. And on one Sunday, my younger sister brought her new boyfriend to Sunday lunch at my parents' house. So, of course, my younger brother and I had to do something in order to show this young man who the alphas in the house are. And my brother and I were completely confident that we could prove ourselves better than this new boyfriend, and it'd be good for him to know where he stands. And there's no better place to humble a young man than playing some good old-fashioned two-hand touch football. My younger brother and I knew if we could get this scrawny little boy out on the street to play some football, we could initiate our dominance over him. Well, you can guess what happened. My brother and I got torched. We never stood a chance. And it's way worse because this scrawny little boyfriend became our brother-in-law, and we'll never be able to live it down. All we have are our dumb excuses that come up quite often. Anyways, it was that afternoon that my brother and I realized that even though every other time if we'd ask my dad or my sisters to play football, we could always win. It was easy. But all of a sudden, we realized that maybe we might not always be the most athletic in our family. Well, if we take a step back from that, and if we think about all of the things that we put our confidence in, we quickly realize that there is nothing here and now that always holds up. There's nothing here and now that will always last. The economy will crash again. America is not going to last forever. And there will always be someone who is more athletic than you. So this morning, as we come to God's Word, we're going to look at something outside of us, something outside of the here and now. Paul tells us that we can have complete confidence in the Spirit of life. We can have confidence in the Holy Spirit. Here in Romans, Paul has set up for us what salvation in Jesus is. And he uses chapters 1 through 6 to show us what this salvation is. But then Paul brings up a question in Romans 7. He says, how does my ongoing sin relate to the truth of the gospel in my salvation? How do these intersect? And it's in the midst of this question, what do I do with my ongoing sin? It's in the midst of that remaining sin that Paul points us to have confidence in the Spirit. I think we've all reflected on this as well. How does my salvation and my continued sin relate? Paul reflects on this in Romans 7. He says, for I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. As Christians, you and I can sometimes be confused about our standing before the Lord because we've all lost confidence in our own ability to be good enough. But how does my sin and the gospel intersect? Shouldn't I be holier by now? What do our sins declare about who we are? Well, Paul's answer is to look outside of yourself. You are spiritually alive if you are a believer. Believers are given the Spirit to live within them. So Paul says that our standing and our identity, who we are, no longer depend on us. It doesn't depend on our feeling, whether we're on a high or on a low. It doesn't even depend on our external conformity to the law. Our identity and standing depends on the Spirit. And if you are of the Spirit, three things are true of you, and these are 3 points this morning. Three things are true of you. First, we have an assured life. Second, we have a present life. And third, a future life. If you are a Spirit, a person of the Holy Spirit who has the Holy Spirit in you, you have an assured life, present life, and a future life. So let's begin in verses 1 through 4 with an assured life. We see in verse 1 that there is therefore now no condemnation. There is no condemnation. And that is because of the Spirit who applies Christ's work on the cross. He applies that to believers. The main verb here in verses 1 through 4 is the Spirit's action. We're talking about what the Spirit is doing here in Romans 8. It says in verse 2, For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free. Now it is through Christ and through the cross that we are declared righteous before God. But Paul sets these four verses here to say that the Spirit applies Jesus' work to the believer. The word beginning verse 2, the word for, should be understood as a causal. So that is, why or how do we, how are we declared to be not condemned? This would mean that the translation could read, there is there now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. no condemnation, because the Spirit has set you free. Jesus died and secured salvation. That is true. But what the Spirit does is he takes what Jesus has done and he applies it to believers. The payment on the cross, what Jesus did, needs to be put towards individuals. The sacrifice needs to be applied, or else the death of Jesus is just a historical thing that happened in the past. If you think about finances, and you could think maybe about your mortgage, right? You owe a debt to the bank, but the bank also has a lot of savings accounts within it as well. But your mortgage will never be paid unless someone else's account is placed and applied on your behalf. It's the same with salvation. The payment of Jesus on the cross needs to be put towards individuals and applied. And there are two things that the Spirit applies to believers because of the cross. First, we see in verse 3 that the Spirit has applied Jesus' condemnation of sin. God has done what the law could not do, as it says in verse 3, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. God's people are no longer condemned because Jesus condemned sin. There's no longer any condemnation left over. Sin has been defeated. But not only that, not only did he take away our condemnation, but it also says in verse 4 that the Spirit has also applied Jesus' righteousness on our behalf. Jesus fulfilled the law for God's people. And we, as the Spirit applies that to us, are given Jesus' perfect righteousness. So no matter what you think your sins and your failures say about you, God sees you as perfectly righteous because of Jesus' life and death and because the Spirit has applied that on your behalf. The Spirit takes in one hand a dead enemy of God, a horrible sinner, and takes in the other hand all that Christ has done, and he applies what Jesus has done to the sinner. Removes their sin as far as the east is from the west and declares them righteous and gives them life. Our salvation doesn't have anything to do with our own works or our own sin, but it has everything to do with forgiveness and the grace of the Lord. You and I can be assured of the life that we have because our salvation does not rest in who we are, but it rests in who God is. It rests in what he has done for us. So you and I can be assured because God has made us alive, has taken our sins away and given us Christ's righteousness. But not only that, Paul moves on in verses 5 through 8 to declare that those who have had this Spirit applied unto them are also now living out of that life that the Spirit has given them. Not only does the Spirit apply this salvation, but the Spirit now makes those people to be alive. Right now, if you are a believer, you have the Holy Spirit living and breathing life and godliness in you. That's an amazing thing. In verse 5, it says, those who live according to the Spirit. In verse 6, those who set their minds on the Spirit. This is pointing to not work that we've done. We don't bring ourselves from death to life. We don't bring ourselves to have the mind of the Spirit, but it's a gracious work that God has done to bring his Spirit to us. Right now, believers have the Holy Spirit living within them, which means that we are given life and we have been transformed. This present life is what Paul recounts in chapter 7, verse 22. So this is Paul recounting what's been made true of him. Paul says, for I delight in the law of God in my inner being. So his spirit has changed. Now he delights in the law of God. In verse 25, it says, "So then I myself serve the law of God in my mind." Paul has been made spiritually alive. Though his flesh still wages war, he has confidence that he has a new spirit within him. Not only is he declared righteous, but he is living that out. So here in Romans 8, we see that there are two different groups of people in this world. All of mankind are divided into two groups. You are either of the flesh or you are of the spirit. Those who are controlled and live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. They think about themselves wholly. They think of money. They think of sex. They think of different things that they can do to advance their name. But those who've been placed under the control of the spirit are now servants of the Lord. They set their minds on the things of the Spirit. They think upon the Lord and His love and grace and kindness that we can show to one another. We see that both of these groups have opposite powers working within them. To those whom the Spirit has set free, our hearts literally have been changed. Our allegiances have changed. We've already been made to love God and the things of God because He's working that in us and through us. Paul says that we've been made spiritually alive, which means in verse 6 that we have right now life and peace with God. If you have the Spirit within you, you're going to desire the things of God. You're going to have the fruit of loving God. You're going to love worship. You're going to bless your neighbor. And you have the ability to hate sin. That is what it means to have the Spirit within you and to be growing in sanctification. You have the power of God within your heart. So though Paul still sees the lingering effects of sin, Paul gives us the assurance that if you see the Spirit working, then you know you are God's people. If you have been set free, you know that you are free indeed. And Paul contrasts this life that people have with the Spirit, which is life and peace now, with the death and inability of flesh people. He sets this before us in verses 7 to 8. He says, "For those who are not in Christ, who have not been transformed to be a servant of the Lord, they still live in the flesh. They set their minds on fleshly desires, and they are dead." Paul says in verse 7, "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot." There are only two options for us. You are either going to be of the Spirit or you're going to be of the flesh. How do I know which one I am? Well, if you are of the flesh, you will know that you never have a desire to live for God. You are not in Christ. You cannot please the Lord at all. If you are of the Spirit, that does not mean that you are perfect. That doesn't mean that everything shows that you've been made new before Christ. But being of the Spirit means that you trust in the cross for salvation, that you do have some fruit of loving God, that you have some fruit of loving your neighbor above yourself. And if you have those fruits of the Spirit, then we can be 100% confident. You can be confident in your salvation. Not because we are perfect, not because all of the fruit that you show, but because any of the fruit that you show prove that it must have come from the Spirit, because without Him, you cannot please God. Which doesn't mean, then, that we can live however we want, but it means that salvation is of grace alone. So if you believe and love Jesus, then that is the evidence that you have the Spirit within you. That means that you are a Spirit person. But if you're sitting here today and you know that you are not in Christ, you know that you've not been set free, if you do not have any spiritual life or peace before God, then you are dead. And you have no hope within yourself for life. you are set on the flesh. If you're not in Christ, if you don't have His Holy Spirit, you are hostile to God. You do not submit to His law, and you cannot submit to His law. You cannot please God. Anything you do, if you are not in Christ, you cannot please God. In God's Word, we can read it, and it can be spoken, and you can further be convinced, yes, I don't want anything to do with this. I want to be set on the flesh rather than God. You can accuse your own self today, or God's Word and Jesus' voice, which still brings life, can save your soul today. This Word that Jesus speaks that brought life out of nothing still speaks today. So while you have no ability and you cannot please the Lord, Jesus speaks. And Jesus calls out to you again today to take up your bed and walk. And He calls out to the dead and says, arise. If you would like to have this present life and peace with God, and if you know that you are dead and you have no ability to come to Jesus but by Him working in your heart, ask this Spirit, plead with this Spirit, plead with Jesus that His death would be yours and His life would be yours, and come and receive this salvation, not in your own work, but because of what Jesus has done. And you must come. If you are not in Christ, if you are of the flesh, you must come, because your status here and now in this life is your status forever. Paul transitions in verse 9 to speak of this future life that believers, that people who have the Spirit, obtain. What will happen to you on the day when you are face to face with the God of the universe, and this God comes to you and He says, you must have submitted to me perfectly. You must have loved me perfectly. You must have followed after me perfectly in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, if you are face to face with the Lord and you are all alone, what are you going to respond with? What payment will you give in order to be in an eternal and perfect communion with Him? You'll scrounge around and you'll look and you'll open your wallet to see all your good works, and you'll find that the cost of heaven is more than any human life could ever pay. But what if you're not alone? What if, as you go before the Father, as you've passed or as He comes again, and you're before a gracious Heavenly Father? What if Jesus is right beside you, and what if the Spirit is already living in your soul? In verse 9, we see every person of the Trinity. It says, if you are in the Spirit, and if the Spirit of God, as the Father, dwells in you, if the Spirit of Christ belongs to you, then it says in verse 10, there is life. Our bodies might now continue to be dead, but we have the life. We have life in the Spirit. And we know that if we have this Spirit, that the Trinity, that God Himself is for us, we can have confidence that on that day we will be saved. But then, Paul goes on in verse 11, says that if we have the Spirit, then not only in the future, not only will we be made alive, we've been made alive, and in the future we'll be given heaven, but also, he says that on that day, our bodies will be made alive as well. And this is the exclamation point of these 11 verses. This is what Paul is so excited to reveal to us today. He's answering his question in Romans 7, verse 24, which is right before this text. There, Paul says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And Paul's answer is the Holy Spirit. Not only do we have life now, but in the future, your spirit and your body will then be brought into a perfect unity, holy and perfectly praising God, glorifying God forever. This is the hope that Paul has. that when Christ comes again, he will be saved from this body and will be given a new glorified body. In verse 11, Paul's hope is based on the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus' body, which originally was like ours, it aged, it decayed, it hungered, was raised from the dead. And he was given a body that no longer sees decay. Now his body is glorified. It no longer sees decay. It's no longer tempted. And you and I as well will be raised with a glorified body on that day. Here's where our confidence lies. That spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is the exact same spirit in you. And he will raise you on that beautiful day. That spirit can never die because it is God. It can never be taken away from us because he's given us life. Again, no matter what you think your sins declare about you, this spirit of life declares that you are alive and that you will forever enjoy God's presence. God's people, if you belong to Christ, you are a spiritual person. You have the spirit within you. You are justified, you are now alive, and you are destined for heaven. There is nothing in this world, there is nothing that even your own flesh and sin can do to take that from you. Because we have confidence not in ourselves, but in the spirit of life. And I am sure of this, as Paul says in Philippians 1:6, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much that our redemption and our eternal status does not depend on us. Lord, if it depended on us, Lord, we'd last for a minute and then we'd be gone. Lord, we are so weak that we would turn from you so quickly. But Lord, it doesn't depend on us. It depends on your work. We thank you that you have sent out your spirit to actually bring life in your people, to actually live within us. We thank you that we have this spirit. And we thank you that if we have this spirit, we'll never lose it. And that we will have this spirit for an eternity. Lord, help us to look forward to the day when our bodies also reflect this salvation. And the two are brought together forever with you. Help us to look forward to that day. In Christ's name, amen.